you can make sure you always have that extra cash around for those cab drivers when you're using the 12 days of deals this holiday season on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your shopping this holiday season with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA, or just click the banners in the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerone here with our amazing Race Exit Interview podcast. And of course, this past Friday night was the finale of The Amazing Race, where Joey and Kelsey were the winners of Amazing Race 27, beating out both Justin and Diana and Chris and Logan. Today, we are going to be hearing from two of the final three teams. We'll be hearing from the winners, Joey and Kelsey. Plus, we'll also talk with the green team, Justin and Diana. I've been informed this morning by CBS that Chris and Logan are out of the country shooting, so they will not be with us here today. Maybe somewhere down the road, we'll catch up with them. But here today, we're going to talk to the winners, and we're going to talk to the runners-up, who were really the lightning rods all season long. So it should be a fun exit interview podcast. Of course, this past Friday night, Jessica and I recapped the finale of The Amazing Race. You could, of course, see that at robhasawebsite.com. And we are just kicking off a big week of exit interviews here because we have The Amazing Race today. We'll get into everything with the survivors come this Thursday. We're going to be doing our finale coverage. We're going to be doing things a little bit differently than I first anticipated. We're going to try to go live from the red carpet at the Survivor finale to do know-it-alls. I think what we're going to do is that Josh Wigler and I will do that show, but we're just going to record it and then we will post it after we are done because I don't trust that internet connection. And I think that I feel like when you have something that's as important as this, you don't want to take any chances. So we're going to record it. We're going to post it live. And Jordan Parhar will be live with our own Jessica Leese after the finale. So that's the show that's going to be up live, our opening act for the Survivor finale. So much to do there, but let's get into why we're here today. And I've got Joey and Kelsey on the line, the winners of Amazing Race 27. Joey and Kelsey, are you there?
Hey, Rob.
Joey, Kelsey, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, very excited to be talking to Mr. and Mrs. Puppet Master. Very excited for you guys and your win. Great job this season.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Best hashtag of the season. But
yes, very nice. Okay. For you guys, after five straight second place finishes, was there any loss of faith that you guys could pull this off this season?
No way. I think it just made Joey and I realize that this was our leg to win it. We were so tired of getting second place. We really felt like a few of those second places should have been first places. And we had ran a really strong race, never made any fatal mistakes, never made any big mistakes at all. We had close to perfect legs. So we really felt like first place was ours. We knew that Logan and Chris fought all the time and that was going to be their downfall, and that Justin and Diana made a few big mistakes along the way. So we knew this was our first place and we weren't going to give it up.
Now, the fact that you are both reporters, did that help you guys in any way in running The Amazing Race?
I think being reporters and journalists doing what we do, we were just calmer than the other teams. We never stressed out a lot because we're used to, you know, having to be on air in 5 minutes with a breaking story or something like that. So we're used to the pressure and we feel like we work best under pressure.
Well, I think being journalists really was what helped us so much. Joey and I are always at breaking news and having to give live reports of exactly what's going on. So we always have to be cool, calm, and collected. And I think along the race, you saw that. People might call it boring, but we were just doing what we do best and getting things done as well as we could. And I think that's kind of, it showed along the way.
Yeah, we weren't frantic like the other ones.
I do think that there is something to that. I think that when you're sort of like aware of the camera by trade, I do think it sort of helps you like keep putting your best foot forward. And I think that that was something about you guys, that you were one of the teams that was able to really stay out of the drama, both with the other teams and with each other. Was that something that you guys came into the race and said, no matter what, we're going to try to avoid drama on this thing?
You know, we don't have a drama-filled life. We really don't. Like, the two of us don't get in huge fights like some of the other teams did along the way. I mean, we're going to disagree with each other and we're going to argue about things, of course. But I mean, we didn't have to have a discussion like, okay, we got to be careful. The cameras are rolling. We can't say things. I mean, I was myself. We were both ourselves the entire time. And this is just who we are.
I think Joey and I just played our race. I mean, if more drama would have been happened, we would have been there. But between us, the two of us, we don't have that part of our relationship. And I think that showed.
Coming down the stretch, though, you're with these two other couples who are both really getting into it. Logan and Chris, probably more so than Justin and Diana. But is that the kind of thing where is it infectious where you guys are maybe want to start to argue with each other more? Or is it the kind of thing where it's easier to see and say, hey, let's not go there because you can see it so plainly from those other two teams?
Yeah, you know, the other two, they were exhausting, man. Logan and Chris were fighting. But that's just how they are. That's just how they talk to each other. It wasn't like they were, you know, the pressure got to them or something. I think that's just their personalities. And we never really saw Justin and Diana fight. It was always when they were in the cab by themselves or they were lost or behind or at a challenge, Justin would say something. But, I mean, for us, again, we really never had to have that discussion like, oh, don't say that or be careful. We never got pulled in by the other teams fighting.
Yeah, Joey and I, just our relationship's really strong. We work together on a daily basis and we have a relationship. And because we're used to being on camera and having our relationship out on display, we know how to work together and how not to fight. So it just never became an issue.
Now, let's talk about the cab gate where you guys were able
to
take the cab back from Chris and Logan. Because to me, I think that that was really the deciding moment in this whole amazing race. It was really a $1 million cab ride. So could you just talk us through exactly why they got out of the cab? And did the cab driver say, no, I have to take these guys?
Well, our poor cab driver was so confused. Like, we hadn't paid him yet. And that was one of the things we actually discussed. We're like, don't pay him because he won't leave without getting paid, right? Because Island's like in the middle of nowhere.
It's a good call.
So, you know, he wants to get paid for driving out there. And he was also like, well, who are these other people trying to get in my cab? These are not the other, you know, crazy people with a camera. So he was not going anywhere to begin with. And then, you know, we just made sure of that. And Kelsey was pounding on the car with my shoes.
There was no way we would have ever, it was literally an over my dead body situation that Chris and Logan would have gotten away with our cab. We had not paid him. I don't believe they would have had the finances to pay their cab, and our cab was pretty hefty fare. We kept the meter running on purpose so our guy wouldn't leave, and we told him he's not leaving without us. And he had told Chris and Logan several times, no, no, you're not my team. So there was no way they were going anywhere. They could play the if game, but he wasn't going anywhere. He didn't take Justin and Diana. He wasn't going to take them. They thought they were crazy, but it definitely freaked him out when we got back in the cab to tell him where to go again.
You got to remember, these cab guys have no idea what's going on. So they probably are watching this looking like we're crazy. They, you know, they may or may not know what the Amazing Race is. You have these four people sprinting at you, running at you, then yelling at you where to go. And it's just, he's just sitting there going, okay, we're going to Belmont. Here we go. So it was, but honestly, the cab wasn't going anywhere with or without us running up and
we, to make matters even worse, Joey and I were sitting in the cab just literally 2 minutes before that. And we were telling him where we were going to Belmont. He said, okay. And then what happened was Joey was still in his fireman boot. So Joey and I had to run back out of the cab super quick, drop off his fireman boot so that they were where they were supposed to be. And that's when the people behind us, Crazy Chris and Logan, they ran up to the cab and tried to get in, still in a fireman outfit. So they were kind of a step, and it just shows how frantic they were. And there was no way, no freaking way that cab was leaving without us.
And did you guys know exactly how dire the cab situation was going to be for the two teams you left behind there?
We had no idea. We figured Justin and Diana jumped in their cab and took off, you know, because we didn't see them until way later in the day, but we figured that they had left the fire challenge first. Justin nailed the capitals of the countries, and then they were gone. So we kind of figured they were in first. We were in second because we had just left Chris and Logan, but we honestly had no clue how bad it was going to be trying to get another cab. I mean, I knew just from my very little knowledge of having my dad grown up in New York and us being there, you know, every once in a while, I knew that Rikers Island's not anywhere near where you're going to get a cab, so we had to keep it. but I didn't know that they were so screwed.
We honestly thought that Justin and Diana were ahead of us and were in a cab on the way to Belmont. So we didn't realize until we saw three helicopters and we saw three Sea-Doos that we were probably in first, but we didn't know that Justin and Diana didn't have a cab.
Okay, we've joked around about it a lot on the podcast, the Puppet Master thing, but was there in any way that the Puppet Master idea actually did pay dividends on the race?
I just think we played a good social game. And Amazing Race is not a game. It's not like Survivor where you need to keep the good social aspect. But I think it does help in certain ways. There's a lot of downtime, and you have to get along with these people in order to try to stay on people's good sides. If there is a U-turn board, and you saw Justin Vanna should have U-turned us in India, we probably would not have gone home. But the fact that we were really close with them, you know, they decided not to do it. So, yeah, we played both sides a little bit, and this is not a game where that's necessarily necessary, but I think it did help.
There was one final beat of drama in the season when you guys were putting together the chairs and then having to take apart the chairs ultimately while Justin and Diana were there. And of course, Justin and Diana are, you know, sort of like, you know, shouting and like heckling you guys as you guys are putting the chairs together. How hard was that to sort of keep the focus on what you guys were doing at that point?
Hey, he's talking trash like Larry Bird or Michael Jordan or something.
Yeah.
I think for us, it didn't really bug us, but it was a little irritating that he's trying to heckle us. But I mean, Joey and I were, I mean, I do live shots all the time and people start yelling and saying things at me and I have to just be live on the air and keep saying what I'm saying. So I think we're kind of used to that and we just kept going and it didn't really frustrate us. We knew we had a big jump on them and that we were going to win this race.
Yeah, when they showed up, we had already finished most of the chairs. I think we were working on our last one when we got there. And then we did have to fix a couple while they were there. But those chairs took a good amount of time, at least a half hour to put them all together, if not more. And we knew we had a good jump on them by the time they got there. So even though we had to fix a couple, we still had a pretty good lead.
Kelsey, in the previous leg, did you consider trying to help Krista out more when she was trying to find the goldfish so that they could beat out Justin and Diana for third place?
You know what? The whole situation was so frantic. People think, oh, the goldfish is right there. You really could not see a single thing under the water. When I dove down, all I saw were the bubbles coming up and the bright lights and just kind of felt for the fish. And it was just kind of one of those situations where it's do or die. You're just trying to look for it. I knew I had to get to the fisherman's boat. We didn't know where the goldfish was coming from. So I was trying to find the boat, which was now gone because it took Logan. And I'm trying to swim to the boat before the music goes off. There just really wasn't that opportunity. And once I got to the boat, I never got to see Krista or Tiffany or anyone again. So if there was an opportunity, I mean, who knows? But there really wasn't. I never actually came interactive with Krista again. I never got to see her again. There just wasn't that opportunity.
And what you don't see is that the boat did leave. So, I mean, once Logan got on the boat with the fishermen, they took off. And then Kelsey had to sit there waiting, hoping that the music would keep playing.
So I'm panicking for myself, trying to find this boat that's now gone because it went off with Logan. And I'm literally swimming behind the whole set, trying to find this fisherman boat that's supposed to take me as the music's starting to come off. So I just wanted to make sure I was on that boat and I wasn't going to stop. I mean, you're racing for the finish. We love the girls. We love the cheerleaders. But I mean, it's one of those do or die situations.
We're closest with, they're one of the teams we're really close with. And, you know, I think if there would have been a situation where they were right next to each other and been like, hey, dive right there, it would have happened. But I mean, it was a big pool. And I think Kelsey was just further away than they thought.
Okay. But what was going through your minds when you guys got to the pit stop and then Justin and Diana showed up, but then they got this time penalty and they had to wait it out for 50 minutes as you guys were standing there?
We thought for sure that Krista and Tiffany would get there.
We were so surprised that Krista and Tiffany weren't, we were waiting that whole time and we thought any second they were coming up and they were thinking, okay, maybe it's the final four and all four of us will be here. Justin and Diana will get in because of the final four. And we were shocked and so surprised that Krista and Tiffany didn't pull off in those 55 minutes.
And their cab just really, really hurt them. They got, the cabbie took them so far away. I guess they were pretty close to where the pit stop was, and then the cab just kept going for whatever reason. And Macau was tough because nobody spoke any English, so we even had a hard time with cabs.
What made you guys decide to ultimately pull the trigger on you turning Team Texas when you did?
All right. Every 14-year-old girl, Rob, hates us on Instagram. We're getting a lot of crap for this. But we were thinking, we didn't know exactly where we were. Everybody else except Justin and Diana and ourselves did the candy challenge in India. So honestly, we didn't see anyone. And if candy was really quick, we could have been behind.
Yeah, honestly, what happened, if you remember, Joey and I left that roadblock first. We had a strong first place. We were so excited. This was our leg. And our test tech driver, we told him what market we wanted to go to. He said, okay, yes, I know. And we asked him 10 times. He takes us out of Agra, out of the city, to a totally different market. So we're now a good 45 minutes behind, thinking, wow, now we can be at the end of it, going from first to last. We get to the can challenge. Justin and Diana are finishing stacking their cans. So we knew they were ahead of us, and we did not see a single other team for a good hour and a half, 2 hours. And we thought we could be last, and we knew Texas had that gnarly, horrible speed bump. So we thought they could be the team that's behind us, and you just got to save yourself.
Plus, moving forward, I mean, do you really want to run against the Texas guys if and when there is a final three? That's another thing. Like, you have to think beyond the lane you're in, too. You know, a lot of people tweeted at us saying, you know, they were going home anyway. Well, you don't know that. I mean, it was pretty close between them and Alabama because James Earl and Denise got lost, too. So you don't know exactly where other teams stand. And going forward in other legs, like, I don't want to run against those guys. They're Greek gods. So I'm not interested in, you know, lifting up lobster traps against them because they're going to kick our butt.
Is there a story behind the Joey and Kelsey hats that you guys wore during the Amazing Race?
Name recognition, Rod. Name recognition.
PR, baby. PR.
People got to know. Also, another thing, you have to get everything verified that you can wear on the race. Joey's a huge New York Yankees fan. That got denied.
I couldn't wear Yankees.
So all of our teams got denied. So we said, hey, we'll just support ourselves along the way. Cheer on Kelsey and Joey.
Like, oh, let's go to Lids. Let's get some hats made. And then it turned into this. It's just really funny, people's reactions. Like, oh, look how into themselves they are. And yeah, it's true a little bit, but it was honestly just like a fun thing for us to do. And it helped other teams because the first couple of legs, you're always calling people like the green team. And that's how you get the hashtag that we were the reporters because everybody called us the reporters. Well, it actually helped people to see them on our heads or on the back of our bags. And it said Joey and Kelsey. So like people would know who we were, just other teams too.
I know it's hard to learn all 22 names when you first meet them and you only get a few minutes here and there to meet them. So having our names plastered on the back of our heads or our backpacks to help people realize who we were.
People want those hats now, Rob. I need to like start selling them on your website.
Okay. Wow. Okay. The demand is there. All right. Well, congratulations again. Really excited for you guys and really nice that you're going to pay off your parents' house. I hope that you may be able to get Kelsey a jet ski also. That might be good.
Yeah. And I'm going to hold on to the back because those things scare the crap out of me.
All right. All the best, guys.
What you didn't hear was Joey, slow down.
Let's flip this over. I don't want to fall in.
Yeah. Well, all the best. You guys looking forward to hopefully talking some more in the future. Okay.
All right, Rob. Love it. We'll talk to you later.
All right, take care. Thanks, Bye. Rob. All right, everybody. There you have it. Joey and Kelsey, the reporters here. I'm thinking about getting one of those Rob hats, or at least the Rob that sucks hats, so people can come up and talk to me, and they know immediately who I am. In all seriousness, congratulations to Joey and Kelsey on their win. And now we're going to start to switch gears to get into talking to the green team. But first, got a quick message from our sponsor of today's Exit Interview podcast. Those are our friends over at Owens Corning. Then we'll come back and do our exit interview with Justin and Diana.
Did you know that more than 90% of U.S. homes are under-insulated, causing increased energy costs and uncomfortable temperatures year-round? An industry leader, Owens Corning has a new solution to help homeowners and contractors identify air leakage by performing a home energy assessment. The new Comfort Tracker app by Owens Corning can help you locate problem areas throughout the home. The Comfort Tracker app works with a FLIR 1 thermal imaging camera available on HomeDepot.com, which attaches to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. By visiting OCComfortApp.com, you can learn more and download the Owens Corning Comfort Tracker app free for your iOS or Android device. It will walk you through the entire insulation assessment process and will help you identify the products to use for your project. Room by room, you'll have a prioritized master plan to improve your home's energy efficiency, ensuring comfortable temperatures all season long. Visit OCComfortApp.com today and put the power of a professional energy audit right in your hand.
All right, let's get back into it and let's pick up with our exit interview with the Green Team, Justin and Diana. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing all right, hanging in there. Yes.
Are these the villains of The Amazing Race?
No, what? I think they got us confused with the paparazzi.
All right, how are you guys doing?
Excellent, man, excellent. It's been a crazy ride.
You guys were such a polarizing team, probably the most polarizing team on the race in the last couple of years. I know this was such a big dream of yours to go out and do The Amazing Race. Was it everything that you hoped it would be, minus the win?
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
It was
100% everything that I wanted it to be and so much more. I mean, you want to go on and you want to experience the thrills and the crazy things you get to do, but you also want to get to see these countries and experience the cultures. And I think we were able to really enjoy every step of the race. Like, we tried to embrace every culture we were in. We tried to have fun. And I think that made a huge difference in the outcome.
Yeah. I mean, everybody goes on and wants to win $1 million, but it's the people, it's the places, it's the culture that, you know, money can't buy. So for us, coming in second is not what we wanted, but at least we got to go around the world. We won money for a wedding. We won 3 beautiful trips. So, you know, second place isn't ideal, but it just leaves an opening for an all-star.
Okay. So talk us through this last leg of the race where you guys looked like everything was going great. And then there was this thing with the cab driver. Justin, could you explain what was going on with the cab driver? He wanted $100 from you to stay there?
Yes, you know. All right, so when I first got in the cab, I initially said, how much just to keep you for the whole day? Probably 3 hours. How much? I don't know. We'll see. Where are you going? You know, like, all right, we're going to Randall's Island. All right, so we're on the way to Randall's Island, and I'm asking him a few times, you know, all right, cool, how much? I'll give it to you right now. How much to keep you? We'll tell you after. So when we got there, what you saw, he was like, okay, you know, $100. I'm like, oh, awesome, here, I'll give him $100. He goes, plus the $70 here. And then, you know, I'm looking, we have like $50 left, you know, whatever, not much left. You know, it's the first taxi ride, it's New York City. If we're going anywhere else from Randall's Island, it's going to be $50. So, you know, I'm a little nervous, and I feel like he's kind of ripping me off, and I lose sight that we're on the island, and brain fart, ego, whatever, I don't know what you want to call it, but made the worst decision of Amazing Race history.
I don't know about that.
But in Campio, on an island.
Yeah. How much money did you have? Could you have paid him the $100?
Yeah,
we definitely could have paid him the $100. I think at that point we might have had $250 total. You know, so he wanted 170 of it or 150 of it right off the bat. And I mean, they didn't show it throughout the season, but I know the first leg we ran out of money in Brazil and we had to beg for 3 cab rides. In Argentina, the other racers paid less than we did for a cab. In Africa, we had a cab driver that wanted more than what we were even given for the leg. So there were a couple, you know, and then Hong Kong, there was just so many different times that we had a thing with cab drivers. And I think just at that point, we lost sight of the little tasks throughout the leg and we were focusing on the endpoint instead of, you know, getting off the island.
Okay. Then despite all that, it looked like you guys came very close to maybe overtaking Joey and Kelsey during the chair task, especially with the secret weapon of Diana, the chair builder. How close were you guys to overtaking them?
I think we started maybe 45 minutes behind them. We were in last place. We knew we were in last place when we got to the helicopters, and that was a tough pill to swallow. To come so far and then to be in last place in the final leg was just, it sucks the wind out of your sails. But when we got to the boats, you know, we have studied everything. We studied capital currency. We studied what the greeters were wearing. We studied flags. We had drawn them. So the flag challenge, you know, we got it on the first try. The dummy flag didn't mess us up at all. And at that point, when we had seen Chris and Logan were still struggling, we knew that we would be, you know, that there was a chance. We didn't know how far ahead Kelsey and Joey were. And I think we probably made up about a half an hour. So I think at the end, we might have been 15 minutes behind Kelsey and Joey, you know, before they had gotten the last clue and made it to the finish line.
Now, that chair that got rejected, Justin, did you think that there was a chance that they were just going to throw that out, or did you think that everything was looking good to you?
I didn't know if they were going to be so detailed as if to, you know, say like, okay, they have to be aligned perfectly, or if it was just like get seven pairs together in the right order. Like, you know, all the pieces were in the right places. Everything was in the right order. I just kind of need to move everything a little to the left. So I didn't know how, at first, how particular they were going to be. But after making the first two like really fast and sloppy, then you started doing everything like in order a little slower, and you kind of hoped that it would go by, but you know, in the back of your mind, you kind of knew it was going to get rejected, but
yeah,
you know, you gotta try. You saw they let Denise go by, like she tried to rap with all her might, and you know, eventually they let her go, like, you know, that accent and to translate France, it just wasn't happening. There's no way on earth a tongue works that way.
I thought it was good. I like that rap.
It was great to watch.
Now, what did you guys feel like it was unfair that there were so many teams that were uniting against you guys, or do you feel like that was to be expected from you guys in The Amazing Race?
I don't think it was necessarily unfair. I mean, I think it's expected if you're a strong team. I think what was unexpected is that we had this big target on our back from the very beginning. I mean, we almost didn't know what we had done to deserve it. I will say that Justin's preparation gave us this confidence of being prepared more than anybody else. And I kind of wanted to keep that ace up my sleeve that we had prepared so much. But Justin, on the other hand, he was a lot more verbal about his knowledge of the race, how much he knew. And, you know, a couple elbows to the ribs a couple times, I tried to remind him, look, let's not look so obvious that we know what we're doing. And I think from the very beginning, that rubbed people the wrong way that, you know, he was talking about how much he's known about it and how he's watched it three times each episode. So I think that really helped with putting the target on our back.
And, you know, I guess I need more awareness because I thought that would make teams want to align with you. Like, oh, God, he knows this. Like, if we're going to follow somebody, that's the guy we want to follow. Like, so in my head, that was the mindset. Like, somebody would be like, that's the team I want to align with. I want to stay as close to them as possible. They're going to be the most prepared. But I guess it was the opposite from the first episode. It was literally every team versus the green team. But I think that was more to do with being on a flight alone and them having hours upon hours in airports and on planes bond. And then we were just the instant outsiders, the easy first boot on Survivor, you know?
Yeah. How much harder does it make life for you guys on The Amazing Race when you are out there winning seven legs as opposed to Joey and Kelsey, who didn't win a leg or always second, up until the final leg when they come in first? How much harder is it for you guys?
I think socially it's hard to win so much and then to still be a part of the group. I mean, there came a time where, you know, you're answering these questions and yeah, you know, you won five legs, you won five prizes, you won seven legs. And there comes a point where you feel bad for almost taking that away from other teams or even the opportunity for other teams. And I mean, it was hard to keep saying, yes, we won, because you almost felt like you were ruining the experience for other people. And it was hard to, I want to say that it was hard to be excited, but I mean, it was hard to contain it, but part of you didn't want to be blissful about it. And despite what they've shown, when you're being interviewed, okay, you've just won seven wins, you know, of course you're going to talk and you're going to be proud of yourselves. You're going to be confident. But when we interacted with the other teams, we were never boastful. We never brought up how much we won for the Fitbit money. You know, we didn't want people to know that we had won that. We tried to keep it as close to ourselves as possible.
What did you guys learn about running The Amazing Race in practice that all of the preparation that you did could have never taught you about The Amazing Race?
Well, for me, I think 100% is how your body reacts when you are constantly running on adrenaline. Like, you can't prepare for that. Like, you can run in the gym, but you can't get that adrenaline to flow without that fear of being eliminated or without the fear of this competition or the fear of unknowing. Like, it's hard to substitute the adrenaline. And like, you know, simple balloon task, like, you know, just sitting there tying balloons, like anybody can tie balloons. But yeah, you're standing still and your body is flowing with adrenaline. But what does your body do when you're flowing through adrenaline? You start to shake like uncontrollably. And you saw like when Gary and Will were tying balloons, the super fans, the nerves, he couldn't tie a balloon. And that's a simple task that when people see me acting obnoxious, they're like, oh my God, shut up, Justin. Well, I need to release that adrenaline or my fingers are going to shake and I can't tie balloons. So while everybody else is over there being nervous, getting their nets tangled, I'm dancing around like an idiot, but my adrenaline is gone and I can tie a balloon. So, you know, have fun, experience the surroundings, but there is some, you know, meaning behind it. I'm not just an obnoxious idiot.
Now, you guys had a lot of conflict during the season on The Amazing Race. Are there any teams that there is still any sort of animosity with, either that you guys have against another team or that you feel like another team has against you?
I think there's a little bit, but not really on our side. Like, I don't have any hard feelings towards anybody, even after watching the stuff back that you never knew people said behind the scenes. And you look at it and it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, I would much rather have, you know, you not said that about me. But, you know, it's the race. It's $1 million. People say and do things that they don't normally do in life. And, you know, I'm not going to run this race with regrets. We're a family now. You know, Kelly from TMZ is pretty much the only girl that we do not communicate with on a daily basis. So, you know, no hard feelings towards anyone. I don't hold any animosity. We're all family now. You know, hopefully we'll get a chance to run with a couple of them in an all-star season.
Okay. Diana, why? Who's annoyed with you guys?
Who's annoyed with us?
Yeah.
I truly don't think that anybody's annoyed with us. We really spent a great weekend celebrating with our cast and racers from other casts. It felt good to get to know everybody outside of the race, and Justin and I felt like it was our chance for other teams to see who we really were. I mean, Chris and Logan, they're good people. They're just very different than I think Justin and I are. I don't think that there's many, I mean, I'll say this for the cast in general, but I mean, some of the people in the cast are people that you would never meet in real life, or you just would never give the time to meet these people. And we were thrusted together and we've become a family. So we're really good with everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Chris and Logan may hold maybe a little, you know, a little resentment, but I think that's because they're some of the most competitive people that we played against. Like, they're really competitive and they're drive. And you see, like, the first team to ever survive a single U-turn. I mean, that says a lot about them. And he was sick as a dog that, like, we thought for sure they were going home. And they pulled through. We have a lot of respect for them. And, you know, they're like us. They hold every little mistake. Like, this one mistake could have cost me $1 million.
Now, did you guys believe Chris and Logan when they told you guys that the cheerleaders U-turned you guys when you guys were waiting around?
No, we had no idea. And the funny thing was, before we had landed in India, Justin and I got to spend some time with the cheerleaders and Denise and James Earl. We really got to bond with them. And when we landed and we were at the train station, Chris was kind of talking to everybody individually about the U-turn. What are we going to do? Who's going to get U-turned? You know, he would talk to me and Justin and say, I think we should U-turn Kelsey and Joey. He would talk to Kelsey and Joey and say, I think we need the U-turn Texas. So Chris was really kind of going around, and I think he followed James Earl into the bathroom to talk about the U-turn. And so when he brought it up, we just kind of rolled our eyes and we're like, here we go again. You know, Chris is getting paranoid. He wants to make sure he's safe, which is part of it. But then when he said Krista and Tiffany had U-turned us, and then said, don't say anything. Well, we had just become friends with them on the, you know, the flight before. So we figured, look, let's go to the source. Let's find out what they have to say. And, you know, we really believed Krista and Tiffany, only to find out later that with good reason that they were lying to us to protect themselves. And we couldn't fault them for that. But, you know, it is what it is. And in hindsight, we know that Chris and Logan were being honest with us. But at the time, you have to trust who you're closest with.
All right. Well, I know there's so much more to talk about with The Amazing Race, and I hope that we can catch up in the future. You guys have a date set for this wedding yet?
We will say by the end of next year. Whether we have to elope and just run away and get married ourselves, we definitely are going to be married by the end of 2016.
Okay, hope that wasn't a sore subject. Oh, I don't want to get in trouble, Justin.
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, Justin's trying to make plans for, you know, a baby, a marriage, and all-star. So we're just trying to fit in all of that into our lifetime.
All right, well, good
you
stuff.
You know, this time next year would be all-stars, but that would also be when she would want to get pregnant. So they got to time it right, you know?
You never know. You never know. Anyway, so you guys were so much fun to watch, and you made for very easy podcasting this season. So I salute you guys for bringing a lot of excitement to the show this season. All the best, and hope to catch up with you guys soon, okay?
Thanks so much, Rob.
Thank you very much, man. I have a lot of respect for what you've done, man.
Thank you so much. All right, happy holidays. Bye.
All right, you too.
All right, everybody, there you have it. The Green Team, and I do think that at some point we will try to catch up with them and get a little bit more about what was going on The Amazing Race, because it was quite a run. 7 first place finishes for Justin and Diana, only to come in second, but they really were. I've said it a lot in the past of Rob's podcast about different people through different reality TV seasons. They were the straw that stirs the drink. And I think when you kind of look back at this season, you say, oh, that was the season with the green team, or that was the season with Justin and Diana. With all due respect to all the other great teams that were in this season, I think that that's really the people that everybody was playing off of as they went through these 12 episodes here of Amazing Race 27. So good stuff here today on the Exit Interview Podcast. If you're a fan of cereal, that is not the breakfast food like Akiva Winokur, but the podcast with Mysteries and Sarah Koenig, Sophie Clark and I talked about the first episode of the second season of Serial. That's currently up on robhetzwebsite.com. Plus, we're going to have News AF this week, why the latest player who lost Survivor lost the game. And that's all leading us up to our big Survivor finale coverage, which is going to be kicking off with Jordan Parhar and Jessica Leese live after the show. Then we'll bring you the coverage that Josh Wigler and I are going to record at the finale from the red carpet, exit interviews. Josh and I are going to do voicemail the next day. The works. We are going to be closing out Survivor Second Chance in style all this week here on Rob Has a Podcast. Make sure you don't miss any of it. Subscribe to the podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes, or make sure you're subscribed by searching for us in the iTunes store or whatever podcatcher you're using. And of course, thanks everybody who's been using our links for Amazon.com this holiday season. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments, and we will talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody.